Welcome to the Popcorn Talk Network, for the online broadcast network that features movie discussion, news, and interviews. Press one.
Popcorn Talk. We talk movies.
Let those who worship evil's might beware my power. Green Lantern's light.
From the Popcorn Talk Network, the online broadcast network for movie talk, and the schmoes know, this is DC Movie News, bringing you the most up-to-date discussion and commentary within the DC Universe.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to DC Movie News. Why am I holding up my phone? Because we're doing a little thing called Periscope right now. I hope I'm doing it right.
What does that even mean? Aren't we already doing a podcast?
Yeah, we are. It's so weird. I'll explain in just a little bit. Roxy kind of got me. She got me into it. I have no idea what's happening. Oh, my computer's off.
I'm Periscope hooked.
You are Periscope.
I'm DC hooked and I'm
this
Periscope
is like
hooked.
Levels upon levels. We're already doing a podcast, which is possibly being heard and possibly being seen, and then you're filming it for something else.
Adam Grillo, the world's going to end any day now. It's over.
I'm so confused.
All right, welcome DC Universe to the DC Movie News Show right here on the Popcorn Talk Network. Johnny the Quasso here. We're at DC Movies SK on the Twitter, on the Facebook as well. Please give us a like and give us a retweet and all that good stuff. I'm at Jay Quasso on Twitter. Let's get right to it. The original squad is back tonight, only because Roxy's going to Coachella tomorrow. So she's like, can I do Wednesday night? I said, let's do Wednesday. I said, Gertler, can you do Wednesday night? He said, yeah. As soon as I get done shooting my TV show, yeah, I'm going to haul ass, and I'm going to get here. And you did.
Came right over here. I'm over here now. I'm on this side of the table now.
You can follow him on Twitter, at Adam Gertler. He's a host of the show on the FYI Network. He's Adam Gertler.
Yes. Woo! Been shooting Man vs. Child, which is pits prodigy chefs against executive chefs.
Really?
And we have like a team of prodigy chefs. I can't talk. I've been shooting all day.
I'm exhausted.
That's why I'm over here and trying to take it mellow. It's really amazing. These kids are so talented. Like, they make me angry. They're so good. But it's cool. I'm having a lot of fun. I'm glad we were able to switch the time. And I'm glad to get in here and do a show with you guys.
Hey, Roxy, she's chilling.
Yeah, I am chilling. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer, and I've got my Coachella tan going on.
I actually smell your spray tan.
I know, my spray tan. Honestly, it's a little disgusting, but I had to go right before the show, so I haven't showered it off yet. So you guys enjoy that waft coming towards
you. Oh, is that what that is?
That's spray tan. Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
It's a little pungent.
What's going on? I miss a couple weeks and you guys are spray tanning.
She's so Hollywood.
We're in a totally different room. You're periscoping. Yeah. I don't even recognize you anymore.
That's why you got to be here every week. We need you back.
You should see her on Periscope. I know exactly what she does every hour of the day. It's out of control. You know what else is out of control? We had a Suicide Squad table reading today, y'all. We got a picture literally just tweeted, I think, in the past hour.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for getting that to us. Because, like, we're about to do the show, and, like, we try to head into the studio and start on time. And then we have to get in trouble because everybody's like, oh, no, you're going to talk about this, like, up to the minute.
Yeah, and so let's take a look. Here we go. We got, obviously, Will Smith. Thank God he's wearing the Phillies cap. I appreciate that.
He looks adorable. He looks like Fresh Prince there.
He looks happy.
Yeah.
I gotta say, I agree with you guys. The thing that stands out the most is, like, Will Smith. Like, he literally looks awesome.
He looks so freaking young, too.
He looks 20 years younger, and, like, he looks like he's having a ball.
Him and the Wayanses just don't age.
Although, I mean, put me that close to Margot Robbie, and I'm having a ball, too.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good point. So, anyway, let's go through it down the list here. We got David Ayer.
Yeah.
There's Joel Kinnaman.
Yep. That's Mr. Echo, right?
Abadou Dolly. We tried it last week. Mr. Echo is what we're going
so
with.
So hard, I can't do it.
It's tough.
There's Jai Courtney. We got Cara Delevingne.
Jai Courtney looking like a 15-year-old hipster.
Yeah,
in the best way possible.
He's a big hipster.
Margot Robbie. I don't know who's in that hat. Who's the dude in the hat with the beard? And who's the guy to the far right? Like, I know that guy to the far right. I recognize him.
And I don't know the Asian lady.
I don't know.
She's adorable. Just don't know who she is.
Yeah. Oh, you know what? I can really smell that spray tan now.
Yep. Yeah. It's waking you up a little bit. Yeah. Just wait till Roxy gets to Coachella.
Oh, my goodness.
Sweat it all off.
It's got some ammonia in it just to wake you up.
It sears the nostrils. Hello.
Well, hello there, guys.
Hi. Yeah, so anyways, we sort of showed that picture to you. Very exciting Suicide Squad table reading. Let's get into more news. Batman vs. Superman, there is we don't want to say a spoiler, but possibly a little bit of information got leaked this week. Could be a new villain in Batman vs. Superman. I know this is something, Adam, you'd be very excited about. Possibility we might see the Red Hood in Batman vs. Superman because of the whole Jason Todd story. So, you want to get into it, or should I explain?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it seems to indicate this is another El Mayimbe scoop, and the indication seems to be that, I guess the Batman v Superman bean of this is that we will see the very familiar Robin suit in the glass case, which has been, you know, in the comics for a long time,
right,
since the Jason Todd Robin was killed,
yep,
in A Death in the Family. You know, people called in, they voted, Joker killed Robin. Jason Todd comes back in Hush. He's the Red Hood. He's taking vengeance on the Joker, and he's also pretty pissed at Batman for not avenging him. So the idea is that will he introduce the Red Hood into the DC Comics universe? I mean, you know, and I guess that's the thing that's on the table. I don't know if the Red Hood would necessarily be in Batman v Superman, but it's just the idea of Jason Todd, I think.
If the Red Hood was in Batman v Superman, do we think that there could also be room for another more loyal version of the Robin or more current version of the Robin, and then we have, like, multiple Robins going on at once, somebody who feels like they're scorned and wronged and whatever, and also a...
Well, it's funny you bring that up. Before we get to the possibility of a second Robin, it is saying that we have the possibility of Harley and Joker being estranged in Suicide Squad over the death of Jason Todd,
right,
possibly in BVS.
Okay, so that sounds awesome. So the idea of Red Hood being in Batman v Superman does not sound likely to me, because if the audience is not living with Jason Todd as Robin,
agreed,
it loses the impact of, yep, the Red Hood.
Right.
It's meaningless. So if you are going to bring in the Red Hood, and it sounds like the Red Hood could be a priority for Warner Brothers DC, you need to build the legend and build the history of who Jason Todd is, either in flashbacks throughout several films. That is slightly more appealing to me, mm-hmm, than just thrusting the Red Hood,
yeah,
out of nowhere.
Right.
But maybe the idea that, yeah, Batman lost to Robin, maybe he's got the Carrie Kelly that we've talked about in Batman v Superman. And I do like this idea of them being estranged, because Joker, you went a little too far acing Robin.
Yeah.
So that could be cool. And again, this is the best potential thing about starting where Warner Brothers is starting. Are we behind Marvel? Sure, but you're starting with one grand plan. So a lot of these through lines are threads. We're, mm-hmm, just planting seeds and making threads that are going to go through several films.
Absolutely they are, but sometimes I get a little nervous, because basically what I know, we're not supposed to compare the two, but what Marvel has done is they've had a bunch of, yes, there's been the Avengers also, but they've had a bunch of solo films, and now when we get to Civil War, we understood the characters separately, so we'll understand them together.
Sure.
We have seen, of course, Man of Steel, so we've briefly seen Superman. We haven't even been introduced to Batman yet,
mm-hmm,
and now we're about to meet him in a Batman v Superman situation, mm-hmm, so I'm just a little nervous that we haven't had this build up and that we're jumping the gun a little too quick. I'm not nervous in the way that I'm like, mm-hmm, this is a bad idea. I'm nervous in the way that I'm well, kind of excited.
Well,
but
it's already a given that this Batman's going to be an older version of Batman with Affleck, you know, playing Batman,
right,
and so that will make the whole Jason Todd story make sense. Now the question is, will Jason Todd already be dead in Batman v Superman? Will we see like
I think that's,
you know,
the indication. I mean, that would certainly be the indication, is like, let's, you know, keep Dick Grayson alive somewhere else. Jason Todd, the fact that he lost someone in battle, like he lost a partner, that could be, you know, that could have impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that. Coming from the chat, Heisenberg says that he would love to see Red Hood in the solo Batman movie, but that's all. Tommy D says, Red Hood, interesting, but BVS already looks complicated and crowded.
Yeah.
How do they add the Todd story as well?
Well, yeah, I don't think Red Hood's going to be an issue. Like you said, in Batman
vs.
Superman, it's going to be maybe a little seed for down the road. Now, in the solo film, years down the road, that would make perfect sense. We could see the evolution of Red Hood maybe throughout a couple solo films.
I think the focus of Batman v Superman, I know this is going to be really profound to say, is going to be Batman and Superman.
Yes.
I really do. And I think everything else is going to be an important seed and a droplet and a little piece of story. But I think we're going to get our Batman backstory.
And if it's not like that, we're going to have a bit of a problem.
Well, yeah.
We will no longer have a podcast. There will,
yeah,
be riots.
There's not going to be any wheels on the bus to go round and round if that doesn't happen. But you mentioned Robin just a few minutes ago.
I did do that.
The question is, I know where you were going with that. I know. You're a pro.
You know what happened.
You're a pro. You and your spray tan.
Oh, it's really strong.
So here's the thing. We do know Jenna Malone is hired. She's got a gig. She's got a job coming up. She has a role in Batman vs. Superman. Nobody quite knows what it is, but the question is, could it be a female Robin?
Right. Which I was thinking would be a little cool if we are seeing a Red Hood, seeing current Robin, past Robin, fighting like that. I don't know. I think that that could be cool. But it might distract a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. I mean, there hasn't been anything new to come off about that. I mean, this is like what we talked about this a while ago. So it's pretty much that same idea that no one knows what Jenna Malone is doing in this film. If it is a Robin, that's a well-kept secret. You know, but we also haven't seen really any pictures of Batman other than the one set pick that Zack Snyder released. So, there's been nothing. No one's seen anything. So they very well could have filmed some Robin scenes and we wouldn't know.
Well, don't forget, Jenna Malone did post an Instagram picture with like bright red hair with a caption that says drastic times call for drastic measures. Now, to me, that looks like a classic swerve that we like to talk about all the time. But if
I love the Johnny Swerve.
If she's hired for Batman vs. Superman, she's got to be something.
She could be Barbara Gordon as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
I think Barbara she's Gordon, one of the two.
Or as Oracle or what.
But if we look at that cartoon picture of Robin, that's that's jet red hair right there. That's kind of what she had in the picture.
But I mean, so does Barbara Gordon. Has red hair a lot.
Okay, can we talk for a second about Barbara Gordon based on what's going on in Gotham? Because I'm a little confused about this character in general, and maybe you can help me out. But I thought that Oracle was supposed to be the daughter of Jim Gordon, not
she
the
is.
Okay, but in Gotham that's not what's going on.
No, I don't think he marries Barbara. I don't know that he marries Barbara. I'm a little confused about that too, but I honestly am confused about that too. I forgot Gordon's wife's name. I don't think it is Barbara.
Do you think that maybe the mom of Barbara is also Barbara, and we would
Here's what I think happens is that I think that he's going to have a fiance. I think he gets back with the fiance on Gotham. She gets killed in season 2 or 3. Ooh. He ends up marrying someone else. When they eventually have a kid, they name her Barbara after his lost fiance.
I'm only asking because the way that I get all of my I learn about these characters is through television.
Sure.
There are so many shows, and I know that a lot of people get it from comic books, but I love the TV shows.
There's Earth 1s, Earth 2s, New 52s. It's hard to keep track in DC. There's a lot going on. So, DC has more characters with different names. Like, I was confused that, like, Hawkgirl isn't going to be a Thanagarian, you know? Yeah. Like, there's an alien Hawkgirl, but that's Hawkwoman, and then Hawkgirl is totally separate.
And then Hawkman.
So the Hawkgirl that we're going to get on the TV show is totally separate. You know, like, it's confusing. There's a lot of great stuff.
You're going to get confused. Just wait until we get later on in the show.
Okay.
We'll get into it.
If we do have Jenna Malone, though, and she is playing Barbara Gordon, then which version would she be? I don't know.
That's a good question.
And how would that
I bet it's not Batgirl.
I would say,
if anything, it would be Oracle. You're not going to get a Batgirl. That would be silly.
Agreed. Some people in chat roll are mentioning Batgirl. I don't think it's a possibility.
I don't think so.
No.
I don't think so. Although when I did watch the Adam West, Burt Ward show back in the day, I used to get really excited at the opening credits when you would see the animated Batgirl cycle go across. Because I'm like, Batgirl's in it. I don't know why that excited me so much, but it did.
I could think of a reason.
Because it was different.
I could think of a reason why Batgirl might have you excited.
Maybe that purple outfit, she is really
as
hot,
a wee
actually.
Girl. I could understand why.
Yeah.
Get you excited. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
All right. on that note, so what will Jenna Malone play? We don't know. And you know what? I'm okay not knowing. I don't want to know every secret about every film. I want to be surprised.
I want to know it all.
You definitely do. You definitely do. Moving on to Justice League Dark, our friend Guillermo del Toro says he may actually not be the director of Justice League Dark. He is. He did turn in a recent script, but he did say, he's like, you know, whatever... it needs to fall into the plan of the DC universe, so he may not be the director of it. He threw in his latest script a few months ago. He's still waiting to hear back. So I don't know. It's kind of odd. I think it has people sad that he wouldn't be the director.
Well, I mean, did he say that, or did he just say he doesn't know if it's going to get made?
He says that if it does get made, his quote was, he may not direct because Justice League Dark needs to fall into the plan of the DC universe. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like however the chips fall, he's going to be okay with it.
I'm a little bummed by this. I don't know if it's true, so I'm trying not to get too upset about it. But this is a confusing twist. I don't know why he would come out and say that quite yet.
You know, my feeling about this is that it's out there. They have a script, and it's not a greenlit film yet.
Right.
And a lot of what's going to determine whether it gets greenlit is how these other films in the DC universe do.
Yep.
If Suicide Squad does great, some of these other films do great, then maybe Justice League Dark becomes more of a priority.
You think if they do well, it becomes more of a priority.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if the more obscure titles do well, it becomes more of a priority. I also think that Guillermo's busy doing Pacific Rim 2 next.
He is. And The Strain.
But I also... Well, The Strain is currently happening. That's a TV show. He's probably directing an episode 2, writing a little bit. But that's kind of... He's that gets up and running. Right. And I like that show a lot, by the way. But I think that you wouldn't get a Justice League Dark till after the Justice League movies. And that's already what, like 2019 we're already into?
It's going to be a while.
So, put it this way. I wouldn't say that if they greenlight it, it's not impossible that what if it's his next film after Pacific Rim 2?
Yeah.
It would totally fit in that schedule. So I think right now he's just like saying, I'm putting it over here, and if it gets greenlit before he gets attached to something else, that could happen. Then there's also the idea of, like, it has to fit into their plan, and then creatively everybody has to jive. But, okay, you know, Guillermo's so great. He can go with a plan. He can, you know, be attached to these, like, mainstream comics and titles, or he can do his own independent stuff. I love seeing what he's going to come up with. It doesn't all hit. But that, what is this, Crimson Peak? Is that the next one, the film that's coming out?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That looks awesome. I mean, like, the guy's great.
And the script, I mean, they have to, okay, the script. Once we have that, then take your time deciding who's
going to be. And you know what? You know what? Everybody knows what a big Swamp Thing fan I am. I'm okay with Swamp Thing being omitted from the script. Because I want Swamp Thing to get his own thing.
Wow.
I'm okay with it.
Batmaster86 says, Adam, how much do you want a dark Justice League dark movie in general,
though? Oh, I really do want it. I mean, but again, I think it really is going to depend on the popularity of the universe. Because it's another corner of the universe. It deals with a lot of magic, and it deals with, you know, dark... insidious characters.
He mentioned, you know, Constantine, Zatanna, Deadman, Madame Xanadu as the
core. Oh, no, that sounds awesome. But again, it's not going to be... You have to get that level of trust where, like, where Guardians of the Galaxy hit, where it was just, like, that perfect storm.
Man.
You can't just throw a Justice League Dark out there. And again, that title could present some problems for general audiences, too. It's like, Justice League, Justice League 2, Justice League Dark. But you know what? They don't need to call it Justice League Dark, either. A Justice League Dark, by any other name, would smell as sweet as spray tan.
Justice League Shady. And there's no sweetness in spray tan smell.
No.
We know this.
None. It's a very small room. There's no ventilation in here.
It's an odd... It just really permeates the skin.
I actually thought about it all day, and I was going to say something to you guys.
I knew right away. My ex used to make me spray tan her. I'll admit that. And it was awful. She was insane. I broke up with her. But I know the smell of spray tan all too well.
This is one of those awkward silences we embrace.
I know. Look, what do you want me to do? I had a couple.
Did you have to, like, spread the cheeks?
No, not that. It was like, you know, she was a dancer. So like,
was
the
there
arms
another
and
piece
the body.
Of bad news we wanted to
Yeah,
get
so
me?
Justice League Dark, it might not be Guillermo del Toro, but we wish it for the best. And, you know, when it comes down to it, Suicide Squad's really going to set the tone after Batman vs. Superman as far as, like, you know, team movies.
Your next piece here is very exciting. This is cool.
Here we go. Moving on. The John Wick director. So basically a movie that wasn't exactly high budget, but it kicked a lot of ass. Everyone's on board. It looks like they are being recruited. Their names are David Leith and Chad Stahelski.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The question is, which DC movie will they be recruited for? Because there's a lot that don't have directors. We got Flash, we got Aquaman, Shazam, Cyborg, Green Lantern, all need directors.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we already talked about maybe a Red Hood solo movie down the road.
And we know Zack Snyder is directing the Justice League movies. We do know that, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Here's the deal.
Talk to me.
I saw John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was the funniest movie of last year. Now, take that for what you will. Because
I know. Amazing Spider-Man 2. Say no more.
I mean, most things that Keanu Reeves does.
I thought it was hysterical. Mm-hmm. I actually really enjoyed it. Randomly enough, my roommates and I are watching it again tonight. I really enjoyed this
question.
Movie.
I did not see John Wick. It was not supposed to be
an action movie. It's
comedy,
not, it's
right?
not a comedy.
I didn't think so.
It's an action movie.
Not whatsoever. I was dying out loud laughing. So,
really?
Depending on...
Just because of the over-the-top action of it?
Yeah, just like gun. Right. Like, whatever it was. I
might
want to
watch it with you guys tonight.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
It was really, really... I thought it was good, but I also was laughing throughout it. My problem is, depending on what movie they would... And I think a lot of that is because of the direction. So what movie they are doing would depend on whether or not I'm on board. If it's supposed to be one of the more serious titles, then I'm going to have a really big problem with it. Mm-hmm. But if it is something like, I don't know if they are up for The Flash, because we have somebody else that we're going to talk about being up for The Flash, but The Flash, which is to me can be a little more campy, a little more fun, then I could be totally down.
I liked John Wick a lot. I thought the action was cool. It had a great tone. A lot of people are talking about the Continental Hotel, which is a big character in the film. It's sort of this upscale hotel where, like,
that was so cool.
It's a don't ask, don't tell place where, like, hitmen, murderers, scoundrels can, you know, kind of go about their business. So it kind of fits into a comic booky world. I don't get too scared about, like, special effects and budgets, because I know these studios, and with Zack Snyder being very involved, they'll get a great director of photography. They'll get great effects teams. Just looking at that slate, Flash is kind of the only one that kind of makes sense, because it's like street level, mm-hmm. like John Wick was. It's not under the sea. It's not out in space. It's not Shazam. It's not.
Which, who knows? Maybe they could do those.
But Cyborg is going to be awfully violent, so they could possibly fit into.
Yeah, I mean, it could be Cyborg. It could definitely be Cyborg. I have no idea but it makes sense, because, again, it's that trend that we see in Hollywood where you have directors who make a successful film, and then they get brought on. They could probably be, they could be coerced to work with a studio. They're not going to be bringing in somebody that's got a huge ego that considers themselves to be an auteur and is going to, it's my vision. These guys would be happy to do a DC film. It would be a big project for them. It would, bump them into the next echelon of director. So I think, any project they'd be happy to do. It just doesn't seem like Shazam doesn't really make sense.
No.
Aquaman doesn't really make sense. And Green Lantern doesn't really make sense because, sci-fi.
We still have no clue what the hell Green Lantern is going to be. That's for sure.
But either way, I mean, I think it's fine. I think it would be. I'd be interested to see who these guys, what these guys do.
And like you said, DC is obviously not afraid to give directors a chance. Look at Wonder Woman. Big opportunity there, and why not give these guys a shot? And obviously,
but I mean, at least coming from what she's coming from, what McLaren's coming from is like Game of Thrones and
Breaking Bad.
Like, but at least with Game of Thrones,
you've got Walking Dead.
You've got action. You've got Walking Dead. Like, those things all make sense. That the next step would be a comic book movie. But again, like these guys, if you told me that they were going to direct Suicide Squad, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
No, because then it would be hysterical.
I don't necessarily agree. I mean, I know what you're saying, but, like, I don't think...
I don't know why. You didn't find it to be just incredibly comedic?
No, I get what you're saying. I just... I don't think it was the funniest movie of last year, though. I think that's a bit hyperbolic.
I'm exaggerating a bit, but I did put it in my top 10 funniest movies of last year.
Wow. Well, you're also probably picturing Keanu Reeves in a DC movie right now.
I happen to love Keanu Reeves.
Is that why you thought it was so funny?
I'm not sure.
I need to see.
I got weird taste.
I need to see this movie now to see, because I every time I think of Keanu Reeves, I just think.
No, I think of Hardball. Yeah. Poor G baby.
What?
Hardball.
I think. What the hell is Hardball?
Hardball.
Yeah, I know Hardball. Yeah.
He's
a baseball player.
It's the first movie. It was the first movie that I cried during. You gotta see that.
I think of Bill and Ted and The Replacements.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves has been in some incredible movies.
Matrix.
The first Matrix is one of the greatest sci-fi action movies
ever made. Point taken.
But it's not because of him. Bill and Ted is great. It's not because of him. Speed is great. He's great in great movies, but he's not a guy who's going to elevate material. He's a great movie star. He's a movie star. He's not an actor's actor. He's an actor's movie star.
Yeah, but shouldn't a movie star be able to elevate material?
Not necessarily. Right. No, there's a difference. There are some, Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of the greatest movie stars of all time. Guy still can't act. He still hasn't shaken that accent.
Fair enough.
But in the right film, he's brilliant.
We already talked about, though, like Tom Hardy, who can elevate material.
Tom Hardy's a great actor. He's an actor's actor, more so than a movie star. He's on his way to being both. With Mad Max, he'll probably be both. But there's definitely a difference.
Yeah, good point.
The Rock is a star. I wouldn't say he's an actor first. In terrible movies, The Rock is awful. In great movies, I think The Rock will be great.
Yeah, good point. You mentioned the directors possibly for The Flash. Well, here we go. We got them for you. Phil Lord and Chris Miller are being courted, but here's the thing. Not just courted for The Flash, but also possibly courted for the next Ghostbusters movie. Of course, they were directors of the Lego movie, which was a classic.
Yeah.
Being courted by Warner Brothers and Sony. Boy, life is tough, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. What was the other one that they just did?
Both Jump Street movies.
Jump Street, yeah. Yep. And that was awesome.
Let's be honest. If you have your choice between The Flash and Ghostbusters, Gertler, which one do you go with?
Oh, I'm going with Flash.
Okay.
But that's just me. Here's the thing. The Lego movie was fantastic.
Amazing.
Okay. I just saw 22 Jump Street the other day. I thought it was much better than the first one. I thought it was really
funny. They're both really good.
They dealt with DC characters in the Lego movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, there were a lot of... Those were some of my favorite parts, obviously, of the Lego movie.
Lego Batman.
Ghostbusters is still an unproven commodity. I think that the Paul Feig Ghostbusters is coming out with the girls.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be great. But this whole idea of building a Ghostbusters universe, that is so... We got so many universes potentially being
I'm terrified being of a Ghostbusters universe.
However, these guys do, I believe, have some kind of a first look deal with Sony. So I don't know if it ties them to Sony. Huh. I don't know how that works. I don't have the details of their deal.
Either.
So they might not be able... They might owe Sony a film, you know, after... But, look, we know how well they do humor. We know that what they did with the Lego movie.
Yeah.
This would be great if they did The Flash, because The Flash needs to be funny. The series, The Flash, the TV show, has got great humor.
So your choice, Roxy. If you had to choose, they said, Roxy, you're going to direct The Flash or the new Ghostbusters. I think I know your answer, but what would you go
with? I know that you think a lot of people would go with Ghostbusters.
I admit, I'd go Ghostbusters because I'm obsessed with Ghostbusters.
I also love the all-female cast, and I think that they're going to do great things with it.
But this would be not the all-female cast. This is talking because there's the Channing Tatum connection. Channing Tatum is possibly linked to the next male-centric Ghostbusters film.
That's true, too.
That makes sense.
Just as long as there's not
I think Ghostbusters is amazing, but you guys know that Flash is my obsession. Like, I would rather direct that than probably almost any other movie that's slated right now. I love The Flash. I love The Flash. And I think they would be perfect fit for it. So
I guess this is why they're not directing the next Lego movie. They're just producing it because they knew that they were going to basically have their pick of like whatever they want to do. I also heard that they have a project of their own that's in the works too. So it would depend on, it's really, Lord and Miller's world. We're just living in it. It's really whatever they want to do.
Either way, these two dudes ain't starving.
And they're also not desperate to Warner Brothers. So it's like, if they don't like the project, I don't believe that they'll do it. I don't think they're going to do it just because they want to do a Flash movie, meaning that...
That's a lot of pressure. Flash or Ghostbusters, that's a lot of pressure to deliver on a
almost
great
less pressure on Ghostbusters, believe it or not.
Who are you going to call?
That laugh.
Lauren Miller.
That laugh.
That's the new Bane cat, is that laugh.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
No, Roxy, don't do it. Not with the spray tan. No.
It's a spray cat, Bane cat. So pissing a little box, it'll turn brown because of my spray tan. That's how I feel.
Whoa. God, that's animal cruelty right
also,
there.
Also, in case you were wondering.
I just got spray tan in my mouth.
Johnny did Bane Cat last week.
I
did.
Oh, I know. I did. Come on, now. You don't think I listened to the show?
I'm sorry.
Well, I know you're a listener, but who knows if you watch.
I don't watch. I'm a listener.
When you're driving, you got to listen to some podcasts.
Yeah.
Some great podcasts.
Speaking of which, I've been going Audible crazy right now, like listening to books. And you know that this Ready Player One is going to be like a Spielberg film? I just listened to the book of that. It is like the absolute nerdgasmus geek fest.
Cool.
I'm sure a lot of people listening, if you haven't checked out Ready Player One, if Spielberg is able to put this book on the screen, because it's got so many like licensed movie characters, comic characters, manga characters, pop culture stuff that plays out in this film. So, like, anybody that's into comic books or 80s stuff or, you know, pop culture would love it. It's really sick.
If anyone can make that happen, I think Spielberg's.
Exactly. So it's really exciting thinking about it. I know it's not DC related, but potentially.
He could walk in a room and say, hey, you know who I am? That's it. That's all you got to do.
Yeah. No. I believe that if there's anybody that can get all these different licenses to play well together, a la Who Framed Roger Rabbit, it could be Spielberg.
Indeed.
That movie.
Well, moving on, let's talk a little bit of animation. We already have. Let's keep talking about animation. DC's animated Justice League movie, Gods and Monsters, a trailer just got released. And you know what? I find this incredibly interesting. They're saying it's going to be rather dark. If you will, we got different costumes.
The trailer's dark.
The trailer's very dark. Let me run this down for you and see if this doesn't just blow your mind here. So in this story, Superman is going to be the son of General Zod. He's going to be more violent, quick-tempered. Batman is Kurt Langstrom, who becomes a pseudo-vampire because of the bat venom he used to try to cure his cancer and now feeds in the blood of criminals.
So instead of Man-Bat, he becomes Batman, but he still has the venom. Okay, cool.
Yes, and Wonder Woman is now the wife of Orion and is one of the new gods.
Right, so it's not actually Diana. It is actually one of the Kirby-created new gods that is that character. So what's cool about this is that it's not just like an alternate universe where Diana is evil and Clark is evil and Bruce Wayne is evil. It's a totally different universe where they're actually different people and they look totally different. And what's really cool is I don't think this is based in a comic. This is original, isn't it?
Yeah. as far as I know.
You know, I think that this is awesome, too, because it's hard for me to watch animation. I've said it over and over again. And something that's a little darker, that is more up my alley. And like you're saying, it's original, so it's not like it looks enhanced really your experience cool. to have read something before. Yeah, I think it looked awesome. I thought the trailer looked really dark and cool.
And I like that Warner Brothers Animation is doing, like, one in continuity, like Throne of Atlantis, and then one not. So, and then I think, I guess the Batman vs. Robin one, that is in continuity. That's like a New 52-ish kind of thing. And then this one is totally outside the box. So
I'm with you.
Warner Brothers does great with the animation. Like, Marvel just gave it up. Like, I don't like the Marvel animated shows that are on, like, Disney and stuff. Like, they're too childish. Like, for a while, Marvel was doing, like, some great, like, they did, like, you know, Ultimate ones, and, like, they had some good movies, and, like, DC's just kept them going.
What I love about this Justice League movie, Gods and Monsters, is this is the kind of thing where you don't have to worry about continuity. You're going to sit down and entertain yourself with a really good animated movie, and you're going to see different sides of these characters that you are not used to seeing.
And this has nothing to do with Ian McKellen and Brendan Fraser either, right? Like, there's none of that implication.
No, I just think it's...
So you don't have to have seen that film of Gods and Monsters to appreciate this.
Standalone?
I really don't think so.
Great.
I would have to assume not.
Independent of that. That's wonderful.
I'm a big Brendan Fraser fan.
I know you are.
Brendan Fraser.
You never know, though. Maybe.
Let's move on. This is just something fun. We already talked last week about Mad Max Fury Road being dropped May 15th.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're going to get our BVS. We're going to get our sizzle or our teaser. Or
sick!
Whatever you want. Whatever you want to call it. I'm saying 30 seconds.
Trailer. A mini trailer.
Mini trailer. But the trailer for Mad Max dropped. Holy smokes.
Yeah, a lot of people know that we're trying to get Mr. John Schnepp on the show.
Yeah.
Well, he said he would come
who
in.
Directed, yeah, he said he's going to come in. The Death of Superman Lives, What Happened? We're all excited to see that. I believe that comes out the same weekend as Avengers 2, Age of Ultron. That guy I know has seen the film. And he looks like he really likes it. And I've heard that Charlize is amazing in the film. Oh, it looks great. Wow. The news that Tom Hardy is, you know, signed on for three more. Tom Hardy seems genuinely psyched about it.
Three more Mad Maxes?
Yeah, well, he signed on for it. Doesn't mean it's happening.
Yeah.
Tom Hardy also doesn't strike me as this company guy.
Mm.
He's not one of these guys that's going to tout his movie just because he's in it. Now, most actors would, but Tom Hardy seems like a straight shooting kind of dude. I'm really excited about it. And then, of course, the fact that the Batman v Superman trailer is so sick, man. It's going to be May 15th. It's going to be great.
But you say it's so sick?
You've seen it?
No. I can't wait.
We should all go at midnight.
Oh, you know what's funny is, like, midnight movies don't even happen at midnight anymore. We can go on Thursday. Let's go after our show that day.
I got spray tan on my hand!
Oh. Spray tan!
So so we'll have a show that, whatever that Thursday is, that May 14th or whatever.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
So we should go from the show to, like, a 7, 8 o'clock movie that day.
I'm in.
Then we'll Periscope.
Or you can put it on Periscope.
Periscope the whole way.
That might be illegal. Well, but if it's just on our faces, not showing the content.
Yeah.
Us looking like...
Yeah, our reactions. We don't shoot the trailer. That would be illegal.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that'd be incredible. We should do that. But, man, we got the trailer and Mad Max, that 2.5 minutes, that's 2.5 minutes.
Action packed.
What a lovely day.
Amazing.
Wow. Fury Road.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it to look that good, to be honest.
Really?
It looks good.
It looks good.
What do you think it was going to look like?
I thought it'd be okay. I thought the trailer would be okay.
There was a lot of talk about the fact that there was a lot of reshoots. It was delayed from when it was supposed to come out. Right. There was a lot of things that made people nervous.
Yeah, this trailer looked good.
And it looked really good.
The bar set high now.
Yep. The bar is set high. And honestly, the third Mad Max film was not great. Like, the first film is great. But weird. Road Warrior is really what set the gold standard. Beyond Thunderdome is like campy, kitschy fun, but if you go back and rewatch it, it's a real drop-off in quality.
Steven's not a fan.
Here's my question.
Not a fan, right? Beyond Thunderdome. And so Miller coming back and, like, you know, and is he he's co-directing? Isn't it like he's co-directing Fury Road?
Here's my question on this, though. Does one have to go back and re-watch all the previous Mad Maxes to get this one? Or is this...
I don't believe so.
Okay.
I think, you know, from what I hear, it kind of takes off from, like, Road Warrior, but it's not, like,
it's a
hard line continuity.
And you certainly don't have to have seen any of the Mad Maxes to understand the BVS trailer.
No. But by all means, if you haven't watched Road Warrior, what are you doing with the next couple of weeks of your life? You got, like, a month. You got... Over a month before Fury Road comes out.
Yeah.
Watch that.
I'm going to definitely go back and see it again for sure. So yeah, we got that drop in May 15th, which is not too far away. Moving on, Roxy's going to be pumped about this. Going back to The Flash, but we're talking about television.
TV time, TV time.
We like TV time. We like TV time.
You beatbox.
What? You're already doing it.
Here, you guys sing and I'll start reading and then we'll go.
TV time, TV okay. time. TV,
what's up with TV, TV time?
The well, Flash sizzle reel has been dropped for the rest of this season and also next season, I believe they're saying now. We're going to see two new villains, the Mirror Master and Dr. Alchemy.
Yeah, we are. Okay.
But let's get to the rest of the season first.
Yeah, first of all, this trailer for the rest of the season looked so freaking good. Yeah. We've seen like kind of 15 different versions of it because we saw last week at the end of the episode and then dropped at WonderCon.
Uh-huh.
That's
right.
We've just seen a bunch of them, but every single time I watch, I'm like completely blown away. I think The Flash has done such incredible things this season. The rest of the season is going to be so ridiculously good. Oh my God. I thought this was incredible.
It looks great. Yeah, no, the sizzle reel looks great. And I think the show has been so successful because they're maintaining a really good tone and somehow avoiding some of the pitfalls of some of the CW shows that I feel like always jumped the shark for me. And like, you know, even with Arrow, I had a lot of problems with just, it was just the same thing
all
with everybody.
Them,
just yeah. Everybody is now a vigilante and it takes away from the weight of Oliver's becoming this vigilante. You know, not everybody's becoming a Flash.
And the fact that when they all are, they're vigilantes, but Thea still doesn't come to the meetings, but she knows what's going on. That confuses me.
It's confusing. Yeah. But look, I still watch it. Flash is doing great, and the effects look great on Flash.
Oh, wow.
And Grodd looks amazing.
It looks like a movie. It really does. And it does say that, judging by the sizzle, it looks like Barry seems dead set on going back in time to save his mother. And we also saw Ray Palmer in full Adam gear.
Yeah, we did. So. Still no shrinkage.
And also
though.
A different costume on Stephen Amell's Arrow, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. He's got that black, darker costume
so
going
he
on.
So he looks kind of like Ra's al Ghulish.
Yeah, he does, which if you guys have been watching, we don't know where we're going.
So that's kind of interesting.
We don't know where we're going. And Grodd, and so much Grodd.
Grodd looks really great.
He looks so good.
It's great really television. Great. Do you think, and will this show be nominated for some awards? Because it seems like it keeps building steam and steam.
Anytime?
What kind of awards?
Or are you talking about
what kind of awards could it be nominated for?
People's Choice Awards? Definitely.
I would say People's Choice at least.
Definitely
right?
That, because I think people
everyone raves about it.
You know, every single week it makes it into the top 10 most talked about over social media.
Yeah, yeah, it does.
Which is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. But it ain't getting no acting awards. I mean,
right. I think Grant Gustin is incredible. Incredible. I think he's done amazing things.
But yeah, I just don't know if it's that kind of show.
No,
I just don't get
that
vibe. I mean, you know, that doesn't take anything away from it. It just doesn't, you know, I don't know that it's an award. I wouldn't know what award it would get.
Yeah, because it's also hard. Does it fall under comedy? No, not really drama, I guess.
Right, like if it's competing in a comedy category, it's not
out
and
out funny. Modern Family.
And if it's a drama category, it's not, you know, although, you know, that scene with Cisco was pretty dramatic.
I mean,
yeah, that's true. And
anything with superheroes tends to be left out at award time.
Just like in the Oscars.
You think about like that. I forget her name for the second, but the girl from Jane the Virgin who just won an award,
right?
Which is like
that show crushed it.
Yeah,
but that seems like a real character piece too. I mean, that seems like it's really set up as a character piece. Although I thought Mark Hamill was so good.
He was amazing as a guest star.
Mark Hamill was great.
Oh my God!
How much fun was he having?
Incredible. And then as far as these villains for a second season go, I just love hearing them thinking ahead, and I'm excited to see what they do.
How fun was it seeing Mark Hamill and knowing that like it was a post new Star Wars Mark Hamill?
I know.
Like, I'm like, you shot this after The Force Awakens. What? And you know, he looked like he was still in, he was in good shape, and like
he was in a good mood. He's like, I just shot another great movie.
He dropped a lot of weight for that.
Yeah,
role. Yeah. He looked amazing and was scary and awesome. And I wanted to see him more.
And with Mirror Master and Dr. Alchemy, those are characters that some people don't know a whole lot about. So it's going to be very interesting.
I'm one of them. I really don't know anything about Dr. Alchemy. I'm sure I've seen Mirror Master in some incarnations, but yeah,
he looks like Batista in a mask. He's huge.
Yeah.
I love to learn about new characters.
That makes me think of the scene in, what was it, the second Conan film when he fights the monster in the mirrors.
A little bit.
That was, which is actually the coolest part of that movie. Conan the Destroyer. Bad movie, but great scene.
Sure enough, Roxy's jonesing for the rest of the season, moving on into season 2.
And you know what I guess was great about this is the Flash certainly doesn't shy away from super-powered villains. You know, they are not afraid of doing anything in the Flash's rogues gallery. Like, they're doing Grodd in season one.
I know.
I never thought I'd see that, because that could look ridiculous if it's not done well.
But they're doing it really well by just teasing it, putting little pieces of it.
And that's one thing I'm nervous about, too, is I'm nervous about, like, when you see Grodd in full light, is it going to look really silly? So I'm interested to say, I hope you're right.
Based on the trailer, it'll
look awesome. The trailers look good, but keep Grodd in the dark.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep him in the dark, and that will help mitigate your TV budget.
Agreed.
I'm with you.
One more little story here. This actually just dropped tonight as well, very, very recently. So we're going to have a new comic book that I think looks really, really cool. The creator of Supernatural, Eric Kripke, is going to drop a monthly book over the next... What's wrong, Roxy? You looking for something?
I would like to use Steven's charger so I can ask our fan questions because my computer's going to die.
Oh, she needs power. Okay.
Okay, keep going.
You're always thinking ahead.
She's not always thinking ahead because she often has no power by the time she gets to our show. So,
but you know why?
Thinking ahead would have be having a charged computer.
Point taken, but she was spray tanning for the fans, and so she was... Essentially,
she was spray tanning so she could go to Coachella, which makes no sense because there's already going to be sun at Coachella.
What's with the hate?
Point taken.
I just don't understand. Like, you're going to get the sun.
I've never been to Coachella, so I wouldn't even know. I'm not cool.
Anyway.
I'm not cool.
Anyway.
I'm
going to
Coachella. So is the idea that you just want to give the impression that you're someone that spends more time in the sun than you actually do?
That what it
is? I like to look tan.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Don't we all? I gave up on that long ago. Anyways, so Eric Kripke is creating a comic book called Amped, and I really dig the story. And the cover of this is so dope. It's basically a guy, he's a stressed out family man who takes a pill that's supposed to help. It almost reminds me of like ginkgo. Like people say, take your ginkgo, it's going to help your memory. He takes a pill like that, and all of a sudden he basically becomes a real life superhero, and he has to deal with the ramifications of that. And it's going to be a monthly book over the next 6 months. I think it looks so cool. I think that's an amazing cover, because look at his face. He's like, hey, I don't know what, whose baby is it? That's awesome.
Yeah, I was somewhat confused on what this article was saying, though. It was saying that it's a new comic, then it also was saying it was a new TV series. Are we about to see
like it's getting the both at the same time?
Right.
Like, it's a new comic, but we're gonna make it a show. You know what I think is cool about this? What's cool about Vertigo and the fact that you can have something that's Elseworld that doesn't exist in a shared comic book world is that you can get back to that idea that a first superhero, a guy with powers that doesn't exist in a world with other heroes, and we get to enjoy how special that is.
Right.
When we're in the shared universe, there's so much going on that there's a lot of competition, and none of it feels unique. So this guy being the only guy in the world, maybe that's got some powers, it's always fun to go back to that. Like, that's always really ripe for great story.
And he's a family man, so he's always got the people's best interests in mind. So I think
like,
it's going to be...
how cool is that in the movie Unbreakable? When it's like, the kid's dad is like, they're putting more weights on the kid's dad. And he's like, he's a, you know, hey, come on, I'm lifting weights with my dad. You know, like, that's great.
Yeah, digging it for sure. So yeah, be on the lookout for that. It's just one more amazing thing to entertain people. So.
Woohoo!
What the hell? I think it's about time to get into some questions, Roxy.
All right.
Straya.
Okay. This is coming from JustDavid0823.
What up, JD?
The J because of Just David?
Sure.
Yeah. The original X-Men had around 11 mutants, and the team grew as the films went on. Why do people keep complaining about too many characters in Batman v Superman? Good question.
That is a good question. I just feel like people don't want things to get too convoluted. What do you think, Gerla?
Yeah, I think, you know, in the X-Men, you have the advantage of a lot of these characters are minor and they never get expounded upon. And that is probably the biggest complaints that people have about the Bryan Singer movies. Like, you never get... You know, hopefully that's going to change, but you never had, like, Colossus as, like, one of people's favorite characters. He was there, but he wasn't there. You know, you have a lot of characters that were just sort of in it, and they didn't get story. So, yeah, it didn't convolute the story, but you also didn't give the characters their due. Here in Batman v Superman, we're hearing about a lot of characters that we know are going to be important in this world. So people are feeling, well, if you're going to give the character their due, it's going to take away so much of this film. But again, to get back to what we were talking about before, I believe that just because Diana's going to be in the film, just because Aquaman's going to be in the film, it's going to leave you wanting a lot more.
Yes.
Right.
If anything, you're going to be frustrated with like, what, that was just all we get there? Because they're just going to be seedlings. And I think that's important.
Right.
It's all about building the universe.
It's going to be a lot of people on one day on set.
I certainly understand people's trepidation, but I think if it's going to be done well, these people are going to just be introduced and not take a tremendous amount of story.
I think, again, it goes back to what I was talking about earlier, the fact that we don't have these two characters in their own standalone film. So I think people are freaking out a little bit because they're thinking, we're going to throw in all these characters, right, and we haven't even seen Batman yet. How are we going to spend any time on anybody that isn't Batman, who's supposed to be one of the biggest characters in the DC? So I'm not saying that I agree with it, but I understand why people are complaining. I just hope that they are, for lack of better words, shut up by the movie, because I hope that
I think
just
we're like
it.
I said, I believe we're going to get a lot of Batman in this film.
Right.
Batman and a lot of Man of Steel. Yeah, a lot of Superman fallout. But people love Batman. You know?
I'm getting something in chat roll here that apparently our friend at Latino Review has dropped some.
El Maimbe?
El Maimbe has dropped something. You ask the next question, Roxy. Let me see if I can find his Instagram.
All right, no problem. From Eric Ward, the recent DC animated movies were spectacular, and I definitely hope they'll go in the same direction for the movies. But their most recent one kind of disappointed me. It's about the Court of Owls and the father-son relationship between Bruce and Damian, which is I'm not very fond of. So what do you think about the new animated movie, Batman vs. Robin?
I haven't seen it yet, and in my world, Batman does not have a child.
Yeah.
Damien is not canon to me.
Right. Yeah, I
have not accepted that.
Yeah.
I read Batman, and I read Batman and Robin now. I know that Damien is a character, but I still don't accept it.
But so. Court of Owls is something that you've
I love Court of Owls. I'm sorry that they didn't actually do the Court of Owls as the film. I haven't seen the film yet. I'm excited to see the film, but it sounds like they're making Court of Owls about Damien and Bruce, which is weird to me because Court of Owls wasn't about that.
Right.
Court of Owls was like the launching of Batman into the New 52. It was the first two story arcs by Scott Snyder. So,
if you had to speculate why they were doing this then, or if they're pushing an agenda or something, what are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, well, because Damien is in the current New 52 universe.
So they want people like you to accept.
I guess. Or the newer viewers, you know, newer readers, like old guys like me are like kind of set in our ways. Like, I had my main period of like reading, you know, all the comic books that I read, you know, throughout all the 90s. And to me, you know, and the 2000s, like, I have over 20 something years of Batman comics, but you can't just keep repeating the same story. You have to evolve the character. So, you know, I get it. So for some people that's the new thing.
Okay.
I'm gonna watch the movie and then I'll tell you what I think after.
All right, Johnny, you got me or can I keep going?
I got some news. Right. Our friend El Maimbe.
Is this breaking?
This is breaking news within the past hour.
Let's roll.
Exclusive.
Woo-hoo!
Exclusive.
He better come on our show. Anyways, he says that apparently we got Deathstroke and Dr. Hugo Strange are cast. And I think he's judging it based off of that picture where we didn't quite know everybody.
Right.
So apparently Joe Manganiello didn't work out, which apparently is shocking.
Okay.
Whoa!
They're saying Ike Barinholtz is playing Dr. Hugo Strange.
Okay.
And Adam Beach will be playing a martial artist bad guy named Raven. I can't read it. Raven. R-A-V-A-N. And let's see, Deathstroke, Patrick
Dempsey is Deathstroke?
Let me see here.
That would be
Patrick Schwarzenegger is Deathstroke?
No, it doesn't say. It just says what the
wait. Okay, so
on?
Ike Barinholtz.
Oh, I'm sorry. Deathstroke is going to be David Parrick.
David Parrick.
Yeah, I don't know much about him.
Okay. Guys, oh my gosh, there's so much is happening right now.
Shocking. We are unprepared for this, but cool. What is David Parrick in? I don't know.
I don't even know who he is.
Okay, so why don't you ask another question?
He's the big dude in that hat, I think.
Okay.
In the picture.
And Ike Barinholtz, we do know more about. From Mad TV, he was in Neighbors, Mindy Project.
That's a huge role for him.
So funny guy. So he's a funny, funny guy, American Dad. Okay. And you work on figuring out the other ones. Well, I mean, ask you guys. Oh, what do you mean?
No, just, wow. Okay.
I'm kind of shocked about Joe and a little crushed and heartbroken. I just think that he's perfect.
Yeah. Manganiello's agents must be working on something
else. It says Joe Manganiello's did not work out, which is shocking. Whatever the reason is, doesn't matter, he says.
Who said it didn't matter, Joe?
El Maimbe is saying that. Anyways, Parrick, who already worked with David Ayer on Fury, is now in as a younger Deathstroke.
Oh, guys, I had another thing I wanted to mention about Suicide Squad.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go for it.
So I got to work the red carpet on Monday for
Ask about Scott Eastwood.
Yeah, for Scott Eastwood's new film, The Longest Ride, which is the new Nicholas Sparks movie.
Are you allowed to talk about this?
I can talk about this. I actually liked that movie. It was actually pretty good. But so I was doing the red carpet for FX, which was pretty wild. They set up like actual bull riding on Hollywood and Highland, and there was bull riding going on. It was craziness. So people walk the red carpet, and then you get to ask questions. So I'm there, obviously, you know, for FX, talking to him about his character in The Longest Ride, and then I kind of opened my mouth and said, "Hey, you know, are you excited to be playing Steve Trevor in Suicide Squad?" And this is what Scott Eastwood said to me. He said,
Here we go.
I'm so scared.
I cannot say anything about what I may be doing in Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
Just like that. So I took that as kind of confirmation that.
But he is.
Oh, yeah, he's in it.
I thought you were going to say he wasn't. Yeah.
And you know what? I'm excited he's in it. He's actually really good in The Longest Ride. He looks great. He looks like a young version of his dad. The guy's awesome. Good for him.
Yeah.
So he did not tell me, but he pretty much told me. I got it from the bull's mouth.
I thought that was going a different way.
And you weren't necessarily supposed to ask it, but you pulled it off.
I maybe was not necessarily supposed to ask it, so it may have been not my most professional moment. I probably should have been able to contain myself. And Melissa Benoist, the new Supergirl, actually walked right past me on the red carpet. I didn't get a chance to talk to her, but I probably would have made the same faux pas.
Is that how we say it? Not Benoist?
Oh, maybe Benoit.
I don't know.
Benoist, Benoit.
Yeah,
I'm
not
sure.
Benoit, okay.
Yeah. Could be Benoit, yeah.
All right.
All right, we got to wrap it up.
I do want to ask one more question because we have talked about the picture that we started with a lot. And this is coming from @RobFinstock. I see what you did there. Does the absence of Jared Leto signify that he probably won't have a large role in the movie?
Oh, in the picture?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think he's going to have a large role. But I don't think the absence of the picture... Maybe? I mean,
he could be
playing with like 30 seconds to Mars?
He's got a lot going on.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be there for the first
day. He could be working on another project.
He could be taking the picture.
That's what some people said, is he taking the picture? I doubt he was taking the picture. Look, there could be myriad reasons why he wasn't at the table read.
Yeah.
And most likely, like, he couldn't be there. We don't know
he wasn't at the table read. We just know he's not in the picture.
Well, maybe I would take that to mean that he wasn't at the table.
His hair bleached.
He had to run out.
I would take that.
By the way, Jim Parrick is 6'4". A lot of people are concerned that he's super, super young. But you know what? You can do anything with movies. You can make anyone look old, make anyone look young. You can't fix 6'4". That's a big dude. That would fit Deathstroke. So we need to wrap this show up. What?
I know who he is.
Okay.
True Blood, yeah.
Yes, he was on True Blood. So Adam Gertler.
All right, guys, definitely. So good to be here. I don't know when I'll be back. Probably not till like the first week in May or something like that.
Finishing up
with Man vs. Child. Good to be here. @AdamGertler on Twitter, Instagram. I'll still be in touch with anybody who wants to ask me questions or talk with me during this time. And when I know when the new show is going to air, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
In the meantime, check out movies on Friday night on FX, FX Movie Download. I'm your host. I believe we're doing The Watch. This Friday on FX, check it out. It's that interesting, funny, wacky Ben Stiller, Jonah Hill, Vince Vaughn comedy.
Mm-hmm. Roxy.
And I'm really happy you could come tonight. And I'm Roxy Stryer. You guys can find me everywhere at Roxy Stryer. That's including Instagram, Twitter, Periscope, and at the spray tanning booth. And then this is, of course, our lovely host, Johnny, who did an amazing job tonight. Thanks, Johnny.
Oh, well, thanks. Right now, we're doing this. We're broadcasting again. Find me on Twitter at @JQuasto, and that's Adam Gertler. That's Roxy Stryer, and that's Stephen Lemieux, our engineer. Say hi to him, everybody. Thank you very much for watching, and every single week, at @DCMoviesSK, facebook.com/DCMoviesSK. Give us a like, all that stuff. Just keep talking to us. Keep enjoying everything in the DC universe. Woo. And we will, you know what? We'll see you real soon. Boom.
From producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network, we would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit popcorntalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network. The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.